This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 393 and a quarter, up 3. July corn, 401 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. September corn, 408 and 3 quarters, up 3 and a quarter. May soybeans, 981 and 3 quarters, down 1 and 3 quarters. July soybeans, 986 and a half, down 1 and a half. August soybeans, 985 and a half, down 1 and a quarter. May wheat, 523 and a half, down 10 and a half. July wheat, 528 and a quarter, down 9 and 3 quarters. September wheat, 537 and a half, down 9 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with soybean prices weakened by technical selling at the Board of Trade. Corn is drawing strength from expectations. The USDA Prospective Planning Report will show a downturn in planted corn acres. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 cents higher at 365 to 388. All soybean bids were mostly 2 cents lower at 950 to 969. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 cents higher at 367 to 387. Soybean bids were down 1 to 2 at 955 to 982. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 3 to 5 cents at 369 to 394. Soybean bids steady to 2 cents lower at 960 to 987. And wheat bids down 10 cents at 437 to 494. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 cents lower at 985 to 999, basis steady, range from 3 to 17 over the May. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 351.30 to 356.30. That's $1 to $5 per ton lower, with basis steady to $4 per ton lower, range from 25 to 30 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended mixed at 385 to 399, with basis steady to as much as 6 cents lower at 8 under to 6 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 4 to 5 higher at 383 to 388, with basis up 1 to 2 at 10 under to 5 under the May. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents higher at 982 to 991, with basis up 2 to 4 cents at option to 9 over the May. And new crop wheat prices were down 9 to 10 cents at 510 to 523, with basis steady to a penny higher at 18 to 5 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 6 to 8 higher at 402 to 403. Soybean bids were steady to 5 cents higher with quotations at 10.02 to 10.04. Soft wheat down a dime at 5.23 to 5.24, while Milo bids ended mixed at 4.55 to 4.60. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 3.76 to 3.92. New crop soybean bids at 9.07 to 9.29. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids were at 372 to 387, new crop soybean bids at 923 to 942, and in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from 378 to 389, new crop soybean bids at 906 up to 937, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 490 up to 516. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 162, up 65 cents. June live cattle, 153.05, up 5 cents. August live cattle, 150.32, up 10 cents. March feeder cattle, 217.17, up 20 cents. April feeder cattle, 218.92, down 25 cents. May feeder cattle, 217.87, down 80 cents. April lean hogs, 58.60, down 65 cents. May lean hogs, 66.15, down $2.52. June lean hogs, 74.67, up $1.05. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 24th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 37 cents lower in the range of $52 to $57.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $55.82. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 30 to 35, 4 to 5 weights 33 to 38, 5 to 6 weights 35 to 41, and 6 weights and up 36 to 43. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from $34 to $41. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,002 head. And now for the report from the Fairview Sale Barn. They had receipts of 192 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 160 to 166, with some high dressing bringing 168. Select and choice slaughter steers were 157 to 159, choice slaughter heifers, 160 to 166.50, with some high dressing bringing 169. Select and choice heifers were 130.50 to 163. Now onto the slaughter cows, their premium average dressing, 144.50 to 150, with some high dressing at 155. Breakers were 105 to 110, and the high dressing 112.50 to 115.50. Boners were 104.50 to 111, with the high dressing 112 to 116.50. Leans were 89.50 to 96, with the high dressing 108.50 to 115. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds were 120 to 129.50. And the slaughter bulls 1,500 pounds and up were 124.50 to 135, with the high dressing 138.50 to 144.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 397 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $67.81, that was 8 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $246.83, that was $1.04 higher, with select carcasses at $244.78, that was $1.55 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 108,000, that compared to 110,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000, that compared to 434,000 last week and 417,000 a year ago. Now for the report from the Hamilton-Madison County hay auction. They had receipts of 3,916 bales, starting with the alfalfa premium quality small squares. They were $6 a bale, and the large squares $64.50. Alfalfa grass, good quality small squares, $4 a bale. Orchard grass, premium quality large squares, $56 to $60 a bale. Mixed grass, good quality small squares, $4 a bale, and large rounds were $46. Reed's canary grass, fair quality large rounds, $21 a bale. And wheat straw, good quality small squares, $3 to $3.40 a bale. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear from market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, about what's going on in the grain and livestock markets this week. That's coming up after this. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, we started off the week on an up note after seeing surprisingly strong cash trade up to 165 on a live basis in the cattle market in the Plains and the Western Plains on Friday afternoon. And so that gave us a nice lift with prices in the lead contracts in both the cattle, live cattle and the feeder contracts, gapping above the 100-day moving average. Following that, we see a little bit of turnaround Tuesday action with a little bit of back and fill action. One of the problems of the beef complex, even though supplies are very tight, the fundamentals that seem to be friendly, supporting higher prices, is the beef sector must deal with cheap pork and cheap poultry prices that seem to be in abundance at the retail level right now, making it tough for the beef to hold on to its market share.
That situation most likely won't get any better with the avian flu spreading throughout the states, reducing poultry export options.
Avian flu is the other big stumbling block for the meat industry right now, as more and more states keep getting added to the list with positive tests of avian flu, therefore being put on export restriction lists. And as that increases, then that starts putting more poultry backing up at the U.S. domestic retail level, competing with pork at cheaper prices and ultimately with beef. One of the keys right now is we've been able to keep avian flu out of the critical production areas of the Southeast, particularly Alabama and Georgia. As long as we're able to do that, those states can meet much of the export business and we can meet domestic need from other states.
A drop in poultry exports, though, may mean more export potential for other meat markets.
It breaks down to the different markets. Our number one market for poultry has been Mexico. And with Mexico, there is a tendency that when poultry supplies are not there, they tend to switch to hams. And so that could boost the U.S. exports of hams in that region and help the pork industry deal with some of its surplus supply in the freezer.
When looking at the grain markets this week, Suderman says the markets seem to be bullish overall.
It's been a good week overall for the grain markets. We're seeing a little bit of back and fill today after having good gains on Monday and on Friday. We're starting to turn the chart signals higher. Wheat probably has the strongest charts, followed by corn with soybeans dragging reluctantly behind. And that's probably appropriate for this time of year. The speculative funds had built huge short positions or sold positions in wheat, and this is a risky time of year for them to hold those positions because it's when the crop is most vulnerable. On the other hand, soybeans probably have the most bearish fundamentals long term, and that's why they're reluctant to go higher. But overall, they still are trending higher, although reluctantly, and still vulnerable to another break lower. Corn, on the other hand, needs to focus on trying to make sure it gets a few more acres going into this growing season, just in case we encounter a weather problem along the way.
The reasoning behind these bullish trends? A weaker dollar.
We saw a sharp break in the dollar following the Fed's policy statement that came out last week, Wednesday. And the Fed kind of played a good cop, bad cop scenario, saying they'll remove the word patient from their statement on interest rates, leaving the door open now for raising interest rates at some point in one of their future meetings, but then talking down the economy and generally giving an impression it'd be quite some time before they would raise interest rates. So that caused the dollar to finally have a significant correction lower. The big debate now is whether that correction is over or going to extend further, and that has big implications. When the dollar goes lower and when traders feel confident the dollar is going to continue going lower, they tend to push more money back into the commodities after being short the commodities for many months. On the other hand, when the dollar rallies, then they tend to pull back and start selling the commodities once again. And grain and oilseed prices have been particularly sensitive to this movement in the dollar over about the last 7 or 8 weeks.
In addition to a weaker dollar, the grain markets are also being influenced by trader anticipation of the March 31st USDA acreage estimates report, but Suderman cautions that report may not be the most critical one to watch out for.
That'll be the next opportunity for the market to refocus on the fundamentals, as it's trying to do now. And all the focus right now is on the acreage estimates. After USDA spent a couple weeks surveying farmers across the country on their planting intentions for this coming year, the general consensus thus far, based on some of the private estimates come out, seem to be centering around about a 2 million acre decrease in corn acres and a 2 to 2.5 million acre increase in soybeans. I think the increase in soybeans will be a little bit more than that, the decrease in corn acres a little bit less than that. But overall, that's generally the consensus right now that the trade is looking for. I think we'll see probably continued volatility ahead of that March 31 report. Ironically, with all the eyes on the acreage report, they're not talking too much about the quarterly stocks report, and historically that's where some of the biggest surprises have come in past years.
Suderman says it's hard to predict what could be reported in the quarterly stocks report, making it tricky to determine what will happen in the markets.
When it comes to quarterly stocks, generally it's expected to confirm that we have big supplies of corn and soybeans. However, these reports have been known for their surprises, and as I study the tendencies of USDA, I can find some big tendencies in a lot of their different numbers. But when it comes to stocks, there is no sense of logic to which way the surprises may come. We were surprised that the soybean stocks were as low as they were in the January report. That would suggest that we'd see low soybean stocks once again, that maybe USDA had overestimated the size of the crop. But if you look back at the history of USDA, just when you start thinking that, they come back with a surprisingly high stocks estimate the next quarter. So it's really difficult to pinpoint USDA's tendencies on these stock reports.
When it comes to how crop production in other nations will affect the U.S., Suderman points to how corn production in Brazil should be influencing corn planting intentions in the U.S. this year, but so far isn't.
Well, Brazil actually wanted to pump up its corn acres, but persistent rains prevented them from doing so during the month of February, so they're actually down a little bit. Now, they've had good weather since then, so their yield prospects are very good. But generally, we've been in a situation where Argentina and Brazil both have decreased corn acres. Ukraine is reducing corn acres. South Africa's corn production is down. And so from a global standpoint, we're reducing corn production at a time when we're increasing soybean production. So we really need to try to get some of those corn acres back and try to discourage soybean planting. But the market really hasn't seen it that way to this point.
When looking at the wheat markets, weather all over the world is looking to be a strong influencer on U.S. wheat prices.
Well, when we look at the wheat complex overall, there has been some concern about dryness in parts of Russia, China, and the U.S. plains. And overall, we've received some moisture in the U.S. plains. The next 2 weeks, though, are looking fairly dry, and so that crop is somewhat vulnerable. When you look at China and at Russia, generally, those areas that have been dry are expected to receive good moisture over the next 10 days to 2 weeks, easing concerns in those areas.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, sharing his views on what will be influencing grain markets the most this week and in the near future. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting Foundation has been investing in the future of farm broadcasting by providing financial support for students pursuing careers in agriculture communications by awarding scholarships since 1975. The foundation will be awarding three $5,000 scholarships this year. Eligible applicants are incoming college juniors, seniors, or graduate students currently enrolled in a college or university agriculture communications program and pursuing careers in agriculture communications. Scholarship recipients will also receive an expense-paid trip to the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri. The scholarship application deadline is June 6th. To find out more, you can go to www.nafb.com. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.